Thank God today. And this is Pastor Adams, president and founder of Truth Matters Ministries in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're just so thankful that you've blessed us with your joining this podcast today. And we're just so humbled and just thankful for the faithful supporters and listeners that have embraced this ministry over the last 3 years. We covered your prayers and sharing our podcast with loved ones and with all the people who are seeking truth about our Lord and his redemptive work. And we take very serious the charge to be hosts in attendance of this very vital ministry of contending earnestly for the faith that has once and for all time been delivered unto the saints, according to Jude 3. Thank God for those listening in over 41 countries around the world. We're just thankful for great men who have sown into this ministry, such as Dr. Walter Martin, Dr. Bruce Metzger, and Dr. Hank Hanegraaff, Dr. Vaudi Bachman, Dr. Lane Craig. We're thankful for Dr. Leighton Flowers out there in Dallas, Texas, and for Dr. Josiah Martin, just a dynamic man of God, great theologian, Dr. Norman Geisler, and Lisa Fields of the Jude 3 Ministries. Thank God for her, and for Pastor William Jenkins and Bishop Paul Morton here in Atlanta, Georgia, Pastor Reuben Beecham from Colorado, for Bishop Tolan Morgan in Warner Robins, Georgia, and for Pastor Kimuel, just a great brother and friend from the Philippines. And today, if you would like to contact us or visit our website, you can go to www.truthmattersmost.org. That's www.truthmattersmost.org. And if you have questions and you desire to make comments or you desire prayer, you can email us at truthmatters@truthmattersmost.com. And as our custom is, before we get into our teaching today, we want to pause and pray. And so true are the words. And before we get into our message, we want to just pray. Now, Father, we thank you once again for all of your love. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you for how you watched over us last night as we slumbered and slept. We thank you for all the people of God everywhere who are lifting up their voices and lifting up their hearts to be infused with your power, your love, for your compassion and your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for the organism, the body of Christ that's uniting across the world to be bright lights and examples, showing lost souls how they can come to know the Savior. We pray today, Lord God, that you would cause someone to be touched and someone's life to be changed and transformed as a result of this podcast today. There's someone who is seeking answers. There's someone who is walking in darkness today. Someone has scars and they have so many bruises from the conduct and the abuses of the world. Let them find hope, liberation, and redemption. Let deliverance have its perfect work today, God. Let someone's heart be pricked and convicted to walk out of sin and to walk in the Spirit of God. We pray for those around the world, those who are in Egypt, those who are in Ukraine, those throughout all the regions of Asia, for those who are right now going through great tribulation and testing throughout Turkey and throughout Syria. We pray that you would send strong deliverance. We pray for those who have been displaced, those who are looking for food, can't find their children, those who have lost hope, God. You be their hope, the lifter of their heads today. We pray for peace in Israel, and we pray, Lord God, that you would bring your will to perfect summation in this hour. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And so true are the words of Adam Schiff when making final remarks during the Donald Trump impeachment hearing. Adam Schiff said, truth matters, right matters, and without truth, he says, we're lost. And today we're going to be getting into a very important topic that's entitled The Truth About Christian Cancel Culture. And those today, I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray for every listening ear, because I believe the Lord wants to really deposit and impute something into the hearts of his people today. Now, today we're going to be examining a biblical perspective of the new popular term called cancel culture. You know, that's the new buzzword, the cancel culture. And I begin to look at that word and that term cancel culture. It means to call out. It's the call out culture. It's a modern form of what is called ostracism, in which someone is thrust totally out of social or professional circles. You know what I'm talking about, whether it's happening online or on social media or in a very personal perspective. Those who are subject to ostracism are said to have been canceled. So within this new terminological dynamic, what are some of the reasons that people get canceled? I remember Donald Sterling, who was the former owner of the Los Angeles Clippers and the NBA. He was recorded making some racist remarks against black people, and he got totally canceled. Y'all remember that? And recently, Kanye West, he made some anti-Semitic statements, and he got canceled. He lost all of his contracts with all of these different clothing and shoe companies. And I think in a day, he lost about $1 billion in endorsements. He got canceled. Also, Elon Musk, who is the richest man in the world, and he got socially canceled for his mismanagement of Twitter and some of his weird avant-garde type of personalities and approaches to social issues. And he got canceled, right? And Will Smith was canceled for the slap that was heard around the world. I know you know what I'm talking about. Comedian James Corden, he got canceled for his rude conduct when he was visiting and eating at a trendy New York City restaurant. The king of R&B, R. Kelly, he was canceled for his conviction for abusing women, right? And for having sex with underage girls. You see, we live in a world where you can be riding on the top of the social mountain one day, and due to just one act, one deed, one misapplied comment, one suspect affiliation, you can be thrust down into the what they call the social valley the next day. And in a sense, you can get canceled. How did we as a society become so harsh and so judgmental and so unforgiving? From where did this damning immoral compass derive? I just asked myself. And I surmise that there is a vacuum that persists in the world today. And that giant vacuum is called lack of love. And because of the lack of love, it breeds another culprit. And what is that culprit? It's called unforgiveness. I want you all to stay with me today because God has something to say. You see, we live in a world where most people are engaged in what is called selfish pursuits. They have personal self-aggrandizing goals, and they have carnal and self-appeasing objectives for their life. Too many walk in the spirit of what is called sabotage. I'll say it again. Too many are walking in what is called a spirit of sabotage, and they become what is called finger pointers and fault finders, and they become spiritual moat hunters. They relish in casting other people down. Why do they do that? Because their main goal and their main effort is to put their light or their prominence out. Why? Because they desire to have that light redirect it and shine their way. I know what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever done that? Have you ever dissed somebody? You know, you just totally just diss them, overlook them, just cast them aside. Have you ever done that? Have you taken the offense that you learned about someone, some sin, something that they did, some misdeed? And, you know, you found about an offense of someone that they may have been or they've done something, and then you went and you gossiped and you got involved in a gossip session and you hung that person out. You hung all their dirty laundry out during a phone conversation. You put their dirty laundry out in a text. You went to social media and you made a post of their dirty underwear on Facebook. You put their dirty underwear on Instagram, and you put their dirty underwear out on Twitter and TikTok. That's right. And even worse, have you been the recipient of a similar harsh judgment? Has someone taken your misdeeds, maybe your missteps, your sins, your transgressions, and they gave you harsh judgment? They got into your business. They took your unsavory missteps and placed them on public front street. Has it ever happened to you? How did you feel when you thought that you had a real, real, true ride or die friend? You had a loyal husband. You thought you had a loyal wife. You thought you had a trusted business partner, and suddenly they just cut you off. They stopped calling. They stopped answering your calls. They unfriended you on social media. In other words, my friend, they canceled you. Now, when this occurs in the secular world, that is somewhat expected, right? Though it's even still very uncomfortable and unwelcome. But when unforgiveness, cutting people off, and getting canceled becomes normal in the church, in the words of the NASA astronaut Jim Lovell, "Houston, we have a problem." When the world beats and bruises the hearts and souls of people, and they come and they look to the church, they want to come among the saints, expecting the church to represent the love of Jesus that's going to provide refuge, going to provide an ark of safety where they can find peace and patience and love and compassion. They're looking for mercy and kindness, long-suffering and security. These hurting, starving, and drowning people are looking for rescue from the storms of life. I love that song that's called "The Old Ship of Zion." It goes like this. It says, "I was standing on the banks of the river, looking out over its troubled sea, when I saw the old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? At the stern of the ship stood the captain. I could hear him when he called my name. Get on board the old ship of Zion. Listen, it will never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'm going to be leaving all of my sorrows and heartaches behind. I'll be safe with Jesus, the captain, sailing out on the old ship of Zion." I love that song, but unfortunately, I hate to say, today often instead of the hurting, lost, drowning, sinner boarding the ship of Zion, too often they are boarding a ship that is dying. As we examine the condition of too many people who testify to be saved, and they testify they sanctified, and they're born again, and they're fire baptized, full of the Holy Ghost, and they run in for their life. But sadly, those same people have abandoned the essential tenet and the command to love our brother and our sister. When sinners and the spiritually dead attend our church and they interact with those who say they are followers of Christ, do they receive unconditional love? Do they see and hear and embrace Jesus through us? I'm going to say it again. Do they see and hear and embrace Jesus through us? Do we walk in compassionate forgiveness? Jesus told his people, he said that his people would be identified by their love. And love and forgiveness is the earmark of spiritual maturity. Now let me direct your actions and your actions to the conduct of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Bible, it alludes to an occasion when men came to Jesus and they sought him to resolve the charge of adultery made against a woman in the book of St. John, the 8th chapter, the 3rd through the 11th verse. Listen to me closely. The scribes and the Pharisees brought this adulterous woman before Jesus for one reason: to have him condemn and cancel her. Why? They wanted her canceled according to the mandates of the law. And even though Jesus knew that was the law, there was something that overrode the law. What was that, Pastor Adams? It was called mercy. It was called love. It was called forgiveness. And Jesus responded and said, "He without sin cast the first stone." I know that you've heard the adage, people who live in glass houses, they don't throw stones. And because of that, Jesus says, he without sin cast the first stone. You see, historians reveal that when Jesus began to write on the ground before the adulterous woman's accusers, what was he doing and what was he writing? He wrote all of their individual names in the dirt. Whose names? All of the Pharisees and the scribes who brought her before Jesus. Why did he do that? Because all of them had committed adultery and slept with that same woman. I'm gonna tell you why. Because Jewish law never required for you just to bring the woman, but it required you to bring the man and the woman before the people to be stoned. But that's the reason they didn't. Well, why didn't they bring the man before Jesus Christ? Well, in a sense, they did. Why do you say that, Pastor Adams? Because they did that by their own presence. But they sought to preserve their life by stoning, which eliminated that woman who would be the only witness that they were also a party in the adultery. See, the Pharisees and the scribes were plotting to cancel Jesus as well. Why? For if Jesus did not enforce the law of Moses, then he could get canceled. And see, that was the chief concern. Beyond that was to cancel the woman by death so that all of their secret sins would not be exposed. Lord Jesus, help your people today. When religious people posing to be followers of Jesus Christ, they manifest some of these same traits today. What do you mean, Pastor Adams? Well, they campaign for positions and promotion. They're campaigning and they're looking to gain esteem and authority in the church community. They use so many ungodly methods such as intimidation, and they utilize tribal manipulation. What's their intent? To steer doctrine and dogma into legalistic traditions that promotes demonic results. What kind of results are you talking about, Pastor Adams? Well, it produces hypocritical members of the church. It produces spiritual insulation where people gotta creep and be on the down low, and they cannot be transparent before the people of God to receive counsel and compassion and prayer. And what it causes is covert deceptive behaviors and eventual a total detachment from the visible church. That's why we see such a disintegration and degradation and dilution of those who even attend church any longer, because of the hypocrisy and the lack of love that persists within the church. Listen to me today. Where did we adopt this doctrine of sinless perfection? Where did that come from? From what evil root did it actually produce itself? See, we in the church, we don't condone sin. We preach and we advocate holiness and godly living. Biblical purity is the template of morality and conduct. But listen to me today. Everybody sins. That's right, everybody listening today. You too. You too, sir. You too, ma'am. You all sin. And since this is a reality, does love and forgiveness have its eminence? Does it maintain its persistence when people sin? Do we become like the Pharisees and the scribes and we highlight others' transgressions? We put a microscope on their offenses while we are camouflaging ours? Huh? Do we do that? How do we find true balance and precision within the body of Christ when we take stands on topics such as homosexuality and abortion and same-sex marriage and adultery and fornication and those who are casualties to opioid type of addictions? Do we cancel offenders? Do we turn off mercy and become mercenaries? Say that again, Pastor Adams. Do we turn off mercy and become mercenaries? Understand, we as followers of Jesus Christ are commanded to preach the truth against sin and to become advocates of spiritual growth and become mature and disciplined to resist unto blood striving against sin. But when a person is living in perversion, do we target the person or the conduct? Ask yourself this question. When people sin or violate you, do you cancel them? Augustine said, in essentials harmony, in non-essentials liberty, but in all things charity. It seems that too many are on a mission to judge and to point fingers and find faults in others with the objective of canceling them. The Bible does have identifying non-negotiable areas of doctrine that are essential, that all Christians must believe and obey to be defined as a Christian. Well, what are some of them, Pastor Adams? Well, we all must believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation. We all must believe that Jesus is God incarnate. We all must believe that we're saved by grace through faith. Those are non-negotiable. But when we judge others in areas of non-essentials and we cancel them, then we cause deep spiritual harm to take place. Well, what are some of those non-essentials, Pastor Adams? Well, we cancel people because they are a Republican, or we cancel them because they identify as being a Democrat. We cancel them because they say they're members of the Church of God of Christ, or they're Baptist, or they're Pentecostal, or they're AME, or because they might listen to R&B, we cancel them. We cancel a female because we see she's wearing pants, or she got on makeup, or because we saw them at a supper and we saw them drinking some red wine, or we found out that Pookie got the church member of in the church pregnant. So we cancel the pregnant girl. Listen to me today. Galatians 6:1 says something so beautiful. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Why? You got to consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind one to another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Mark 11:25 says, and whatever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 6:15 says, but if you do not forgive others their trespasses, well, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 8:21-22 says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. And Jesus said to Peter, he said, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. No matter how many times your brother offend you, you forgive them. Listen in my audience today. The word forgive is from the Greek word aphamai. Aphamai, it means send away the offense. It means send away the offense. So when we forgive, we send away the offense. But we in the church have too often sent away the person with the offense. Never forget, Jesus carried an old splintered, rugged cross to Calvary, not to cancel people, but to cancel their debts and their sins. He carried every lie, every murder, every evil thought, every deceptive deed, every profane word, every witchcraft spell, every demonic enchantment. He sent and he carried every root of bitterness, every destructive agenda, every curse, every enduring fear, every spirit and act of abuse, every addictive act, every betrayal, every backbiting tongue, all rebellion, every crying eye, and pain, to wash it in his blood. He washed it in his blood. Understand, beloved, we owed a debt we could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. And on that old rugged cross, He said, it's finished. He sent it away, stamping it in his red blood. Canceled. Paid in full. This is the truth about Christian cancellation. God bless you, and you pray for us in Jesus' name.